The word humility can strike a chord with many people. Sometimes it's sweet and it's clear, like we heard on the organ this morning. And sometimes it can sound very sour and discordant. Having grown up in the 50s and 60s, I remember a young boxer named Cassius Clay, who later became known as Muhammad Ali. He would stand up during press conferences and even in the ring, proclaiming himself as the prettiest, most handsome man, and then screaming out, "I am the greatest." Humility. He may have been a great fighter, but he certainly was not humble by any stretch of the imagination. Humility does not let us think more of ourselves than we are truly worth. It does not allow us to become, as Paul puts it, puffed up. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus is talking about the way in which people of his day were throwing humility to the wind and jostling for position in the eyes of God. It appeared to Jesus that they were eager to push themselves forward, to show how well they were keeping the law, to maintain their own purity and piety. They were precisely the sort of people Jesus found himself associating with, and they were the wrong kind of people. Jesus is focusing on touching the untouchable and calling the nobodies. This parable is an everyday human wisdom, warning against pride and arrogance, warning against pushing yourself forward in the sight of Almighty God. Well, in Jesus' day, the Jewish custom at a dinner was to arrange couches in a U shape with a low table in front of them. Guests reclined on their left elbow, and they would be seated according to their status, with the place of honor being the seat at the center of the U. The farthest away that you were from that seat of honor, it meant that your status was a little lower. And if people, as they arrived, placed themselves in the seats of honor, and then when someone more distinguished than them came along, they would be asked to move to the lower seats, whatever was available. By then, the only seat that still would be open would probably be in the lowest place. Well, this wedding banquet that Jesus illustrates is a picture of the kingdom of God, the Messiah's kingdom. Those who seek honor for themselves will be taken down a peg. And Jesus explains that honor cannot be taken for yourself. It must be given by God. And he will not honor those who seek to honor themselves. My father used to say to me, SPS, self-praise stinks. And I've never forgotten that. Some 60-something years later, SPS. Who are those arrogant people who exalt themselves? They're the ones who, in any group of people, would rather talk than listen, controlling the conversation with their own thoughts and ideas. Know anybody like that? I do. It's funny. The more you minister, the more you learn to listen. And as Pastor Sam can tell you from his many years in ministry, sometimes we just need to shut up and listen. And that's a lesson for all of us. Whatever you might have to say is less important to them than what you have to say. That's that talkative person, the know-it-all. They keep cutting you off to get back to their ideas. They consistently think everyone else is far less intelligent or important than they are, and they treat people as inferior to them, and so those people are meant to only serve them. I want to point, if you will, to today's reading from Hebrews. The author of Hebrews, in chapter 13, verses 1 to 18, in which treating people is at the very center of the lesson. Whether you might be entertaining angels without knowing it, or people who are in prison, people should be put ahead of you and your needs and wants. Society today loves to make jokes about marriage. Just turn on the TV to a situational comedy, a sitcom, and people are making fun of their spouses. But the truth is, when you get down to it, we need to honor one another, not make fun of them. We need to look at them and the precious gift that they offer to us, and that's themselves. We must honor one another in any relationship. Vows and promises have been made to your beloved and to Almighty God. And you know how God views promises, vows, and commitments. Putting others first is to humble yourself. It makes a difference because what you're doing is you're showing some humility, some meaning to that relationship, saying, you're important to me, and everything else doesn't matter. It's unfortunate. Some people try to show appearance of humility, false humility, in order to manipulate others. While others think that humility means putting themselves down. Really humble people compare themselves only to Jesus Christ, realizing their sinfulness and understand their limitations and the huge gap that exists between them and our Lord Jesus Christ. They also recognize their gifts and strength and so are willing to use them as Christ leads them. Humility is not putting yourself down. It's not self-degradation, making fun of yourself. Instead, it's a realistic assessment of yourself and your commitment to serve. Not only the church, but one another. In the 14 years that I've been a priest, I have found instances where poor self-image has been one of the major issues that people deal with. I ask people if they like themselves, and sadly, the answer has usually been no. And so we work on that. God sees each one of us, each one of you, as a precious creation, his child. And that, my friends, is not something to take lightly. Throughout history, societies have had status symbols that have helped people enhance, and protect their standing in society. And if you were blessed to be invited to the homes of one in the in crowd, and if you were seated in the right places, then people would know just how important you seemed to be. The emphasis was on position and reputation, and not, sadly, on their character. It's more important for them to sit in the right places than to live the right kind of life. Think of it as a, if you will, a giant selfie. How many people take pictures of themselves with celebrities or well-known people just to be able to put it on Facebook and say, look at me, I'm Sandra D. You had to like Greece for that one. A giant selfie. Think about that. Success that comes from self-promotion is temporary, and so you may be embarrassed as you're asked to move down. And I remember the words of my father, S.P.S. When Jesus advised the guests to take the lower places, he was not giving them a ploy that guaranteed position or promotion. The false humility that takes the lowest place is just as hateful to God as the pride that takes the highest place. God's not impressed by our status in society or in the church. He's not influenced one iota by what people say or think about us, because he sees the thoughts and motives of our hearts. Just hear what God says through the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7. Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearances, but the Lord looks at the heart. God still humbles the proud and exalts the humble. The Lord reminds us in James, the epistle of James, chapter 4, verse 6. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It's been said that humility is not thinking less of us. It's simply not thinking of ourselves at all. Jesus is the greatest example of humility, and we do well to ask the Holy Spirit to enable us to imitate him. I want you to hear these words from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 3 to 11, in which he writes, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility and consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." My friends, those are really powerful words. Jesus knew that the host had invited those guests for two reasons. One, to pay them back because they had invited him to past feasts, or to put them under his debt so that they would invite him to future feasts or events. The saying, "one hand washes the other," this kind of hospitality was not an expression of love and grace, but rather an evidence of pride and selfishness. He was buying recognition. In Jesus' time, it was not considered proper to ask poor people and handicapped people to public banquets. And the women, they weren't invited at all. They served. But Jesus commanded to put these needy people at the top of our list because they can't pay us back. If our hearts are right, God will see to it that we are properly rewarded and getting a reward that is not to be the motive for our generosity. When we serve others from unselfish hearts, we're laying up treasures in heaven and becoming rich toward God. Jesus said quite clearly, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Our world today is very competitive, you must admit. And it's easy for God's people to become more concerned about profit and loss than they are about sacrifice and service. What am I going to get out of it? Or even better, what's in it for me? That might easily become someone's most important question in their life. We have got to try to maintain the unselfish attitude that Jesus had and share what we have with others. On the day of judgment, many who today are first in the eyes of men will be last in God's eyes. And many who are last in the eyes of men will be first in the eyes of God. How important it is for us to remember to humble ourselves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.